This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. After discussing the size of the doors of Jannah, we move on to, before we get to the keys of Jannah, we were going to speak specifically about where exactly Jannah is. Where is Jannah situated? Where is paradise? في مكان الجنة وأين هو؟ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم in Surah Al-Najm, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ الْمَأْوَى. Allah, then he saw him again. Either that is speaking about Jibreel alayhi salam or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the Sidratul Muntaha, the furthermost lote tree. And there is the Jannatul Ma'wa. That is where the paradise is. The abode of paradise. Now, one thing we know for sure from numerous ahadith is that the Sidratul Muntaha is above the heavens. And the reason it's called Sidratul Muntaha, Sidra means the lote tree, and Muntaha is the furthest most aspect of this alam, of this universe. And يَنْتَهِي إِلَيْهَا مَا يَنْزِلُ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَيُقْبَضْ مِنْهَا وَمَا يَصْعَدُ إِلَيْهِ فَيُقْبَضُ مِنْهَا. It is also the location or the place from which things descend onto the earth, the blessings and everything else. And this is also where, when we make dua, etc., this is the kind of direction it goes up in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوعَدُونَ. Ibn Abi Najih mentions from Mujahid. Mujahid, this is his, the Mufassir, huwa al-Jannah. He says that refers to Jannah. In another version, Mujahid says huwa al-Jannah wa al-Nar. This is referring to paradise and hellfire. However, what we need to do is we need to understand this a bit better, because there is a hadith that's related from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. Says al-Jannah fi al-Sama' al-Sabi'ah. ويجعله الله حيث يشاء يوم القيامة وجهنم في الأرض السابعة. Paradise or the gardens are on the seventh heaven, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can place them on the day of judgment wherever He wishes. So although it's located somewhere, but for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nothing has to be fixed, that He can't move it. It can be transferred and it can be moved. And Jahannam is on the seventh earth. In terms of the earth has layers, and he's talking about the seventh earth. Wallahu alam if that means the core of the earth, which is obviously full of lava as we speak. Mujahid also relates that I said to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he seems to have been a student of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says, قلت لابن عباس أين الجنة, where is paradise? قال فوق سبع سماوات. قلت فأين النار؟ قال تحت السبعة أبحر مطبقة. He says, where is paradise? Above the seventh heaven. And I said, where's hellfire? He said, underneath the seven oceans that are layer by layer. And again, that could refer to the earth again. There is Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah, he relates through his chain from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, qala al-jannatu matwiyya mu'allaqa biqurun ash-shams tunshar fi kulli 'amin marratan wa inna arwah al-mu'minina fi tayrin kaz-zararir yata'arafuna yurzaquna min thamar al-jannah. This is a very unusual narration that many of us probably not heard before. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu relates that Jannah is rolled up and suspended on the horns of the sun, and only once a year is it spread. The souls of the believers who have already died, they are in birds, they recognize one another, and they are also sustained from the fruits of Jannah. Now what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, what he mentions is that there seems to be a contradiction here, that in this narration it talks about Jannah being suspended and rolled up somewhere with the sun, whereas we know that Jannah in most ahadith is on the seventh heaven. So how do you reconcile the two? So what he says is that there is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates, has created with the sun, which is just, you can say, a sign or a symbol for the main Jannah. It's just a sample. It's just a sample which is spread once a year with various different types of fruits and flowers and various different types of productions in there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مُذَكِّرًا بِتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it just a reminder for the other Jannah, a sign towards it. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the hellfire, the fire in this world as a sign for an indication towards the hellfire. Otherwise, the Jannah we know is عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. It's bigger than the sun, many, many suns. It is bigger than the heavens and the earth all put together. لَيْسَ مُعَلَّقَ بِقُرُونِ الشَّمْسٍ. The real, it's not connected to the sun. In the Sahihain, there's another hadith says, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ مِئَةُ دَرَجَةً مَا بَيْنَ كُلِّ دَرَجَتَيْنِ كَمَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So clearly that just explains what it is that in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, paradise has 100 levels, 100 degrees. Between every two of these levels is like between the earth and the heavens. You can't even see the first heaven, just about. That's how big each of these floors or level in Jannah are. This tells you that أَنَّهَا فِي غَايَةِ الْعُلُوِّ وَالْإِرْتِفَاءِ. It's paradise is completely somewhere beyond the sun. Now, there is another version of this narration which says that إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِئَةُ دَرَجَةً مَا بَيْنَ كُلِّ دَرَجَتَيْنِ كَمَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَعَدَّهَا اللَّهُ لِلْمُجَاهِدِينَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. Now this is something even greater, that these 100 degrees of Jannah that we're speaking about, this is only for the Mujahideen, not for anybody else. So when we speak about these 100 degrees that are between the heavens and earth, each of these floors, I mean, imagine how vast and colossal that is. Those are only for the Mujahideen. And it's more than that. And Ibn al-Qayyim says, وَشَيْخُنَا يُرَجِّحْ هَذَا اللَّفْظِ. He says that this particular version is superior to the other one. And he says, just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in one hadith that paradise has 100 degrees, doesn't mean there can't be more than that, or that those are only specific, because Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, inna lillahi 99 asman man ahsaha dakhala al-jannah. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names, whoever records them, preserves them, enters Jannah. And I think I've mentioned to you before that these 99 names, this is just a package, this is just one collection. Allah has put this Prophet ﷺ has put these together to make it easy to understand, to memorize. Otherwise, there are more names than the 99 names. In the Quran, there are names that are not part of the 99 names. So just as that, it says that there are 100 degrees of Jannah. That's just talking about one set of Jannah. Otherwise, there are more than that. So can you imagine how big Jannah we're speaking about? That between every two levels, there is between the heavens and the earth. So can you imagine? It's impossible to even fathom these things. Now, another thing that proves this is that when you look at the hadith which speak about the paradise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, they are supposed to be even beyond the normal paradise, because in one of his ascensions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown the Jannah. Then beyond that, he saw a light, something sparkling way above that. And he says, what is that? He says, that's your place. That was way above the Jannah that he saw. So this is it. He says that the other thing Ibn al-Qayyim says is, وَالْجَنَّةَ مُقَبَّبَةَ أَعْلَاهَا أَوْسَعُهَا. Jannah is like a qubba, which means like a dome. But in this case, it's more like an inverted dome. Not a normal shape of a dome like this, but upside down. So it's like this. And this is just unfathomable. But what he says is that the higher you get, the wider it becomes. The higher you get, the broader and more extensive it becomes. So it's like this. And he says, وَوَسَطُهَا هُوَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. At the middle of this, at the top, is Jannatul Firdaus. وَسَقْفُهُ الْعَرْشِ. And the arsh, its root, this Jannatul Firdaus, which is in the middle, at the top, Its roof is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the hadith of Sahih in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا سَأَلْتُمُ اللَّهُ فَاسْأَلُوهُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ. When you ask Allah, don't ask anything less than Firdaus. Ask for the Firdaus. فَإِنَّهُ وَسَطُ الْجَنَّةِ وَعَعْلَ الْجَنَّةِ. It is the middle, the center of Jannah, and the highest place of Jannah. Subhanallah. Obviously, it's got the prime position. Right? It's not at the edges. It's وَفَوْقَهُ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَنِ وَمِنْهُ تَفَجَّرْ أَنْهَارُ الْجَنَّةِ. And that is also the most beautiful place where the rivers will be streamed from there as well. Now the question that arises is that if Jannah is all of Jannah under the Arsh, the roof of the Arsh, if the roof is the Arsh, is that covering the entire Jannah, or is it only Jannatul Firdaus? Because the question that arises is that you have the Arsh and then you have the Kursi. And the Kursi is understood to be the foot pedestal from the Arsh. That's basically the idea of the Kursi. The Kursi itself is supposed to be huge. Again, فَإِنَّ الْكُرْسِي وَسِعَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْعَرْشِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْهِ. The Kursi itself is bigger than the heavens and the earth. And the Arsh is supposed to be bigger than that. So then how is the Arsh, the roof of Jannatul Firdaus, or all of Jannah, then where does the Kursi go, and how do you figure all of this in? So then Ibn al-Qayyim gives an answer here. He says that it's only Jannatul Firdaus which is under the Arsh. That part of Jannah is under the Arsh. Otherwise paradise is beyond that as well. And that's why you can then figure this out. And then he says that وغاية ارتفاعها يكون السعود من أدناها إلى أعلاها بالتدريج شيئا فشيئا درجة فوق درجة كما يقال لقارئ القرآن اقرأ ورقة فإن منزلتك عند آخر آية تقرأها. Because the qari, he is told to read and ascend. So there's this concept of ascending to a better place, and thus the higher you get, the better the Jannah comes. And this says, this means that either it's the final place of what you have memorized. Based on how much Quran you have memorized, that's how high you will get. That's why you should use this Ramadan to not only read the Quran, but memorize extra. Because for every ayah that you will read and memorize, you're still going to get your 10 rewards for each letter. So don't think you'll get more reward for just reading from one end to the other. But you will probably get more reward if you also spend some time in trying to memorize surahs like Yasin and Tabarak and Rahman and Waqi and Surah Al-Kahf. By reading them over and over and over again, you will have committed them to memory. Then you can even use them when you're traveling. That's why he says, one is it's speaking about how much he knows and memorizes, has memorized, and the other one is how much he is able to recite from what he memorizes. Of course, we know the punishment of the one who's forgotten his memorization. We know about that. So this clearly means that somebody who's memorized it and knows it to a certain degree has maintained it. Now let's speak about the keys of Jannah. No locksmith can make this one. There's only one source for this key. And everybody has it. Subhanallah. Hassan ibn Arafa relates from Ismail ibn Ayash, from Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Hassan, from Shahr ibn Hawshab, from Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. Tabarani relates this hadith. He says, قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مفتاح الجنة شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. The key of Jannah is to testify that I bear witness that there is no God except Allah. Is that testification that there is no God except Allah. That is the key to Jannah. Imam Ahmad has also related this. And he says, مَفَاتِيهُ الْجَنَّةِ شَهَادَةُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Imam Bukhari mentions in his Sahih, عن وَهْبِ بْنِ مُنَبِّهِ, somebody said to him, أَلَيْسَ مِفْتَاحُ الْجَنَّةِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Isn't the keys of Jannah لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. قَالَ بَلَى. He said, of course it is. He said, yes, of course it is. Now, you see, if you think that you have the keys to Jannah because you said La ilaha illallah, and now I don't need to do anything, I've got this La ilaha illallah, khalas, I've got the keys, I'll enter whenever I want. So the question seemed to be from that perspective. And that's why he said, the person said to him, isn't the keys, maybe the discussion was about how to get into Jannah, and then he must have heard this hadith, and I'm just assuming this. And he says, isn't the key to Jannah la ilaha illallah? He said, of course it is. But every key, laysa min miftahin illa walahu asnan. Every key has teeth, a cut, a certain code. You know, nowadays we have digital keys, right? We have digital keys. They need to be of a certain, you know, encrypted in a certain way. And even if you look at the physical keys, they have to be cut in a certain way. And if it's got a slight rough edge, it's going to cause problems in getting in. It can't be bent. It has to be straight, and so on and so forth. So that's why our actions are the teeth of these keys. That's what it is. So la ilaha illallah is the basis. But then after all the actions, the deeds, they provide the actual form of the key. That's what he said. فَإِنْ أَتَيْتَ بِمِفْتَاحٍ لَهُ أَسْنَانٍ فُتِحَ لَكْ وَإِلَّا لَمْ يُفْتَحْ. He says, if you come with a key that has the correct teeth, the correct cutting, then فُتِحَ لَهُ. Otherwise, it will not be open for you. That's why Anas radiallahu anhu relates that one of the Bedouins, Al-A'rabi, قال يا رسول الله ما مفاتيح الجنة. What are the keys of Jannah? He says, لا إله إلا الله. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ألا أدلك على باب من أبواب الجنة؟ قلت بلى. قال لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله is another way of getting into Jannah. It's another of the doors of Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned the keys to many, many things that are important for us. So this is a list of all of the keys that have been mentioned from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messengers to things that we would like to attain for ourselves. It's a very unique list. So I'm going to go over it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every objective of the deen, has kept a particular key. So for example, the objective, one of our objectives is salat. The key of salat is at-tahur. As Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, miftahu salati at-tahur, which means purity, your wudu and your purity, that is the key for salat. What is the miftah of hajj? What is the key for hajj? Is al-ihram, is the ihram. Maybe people take it insignificantly, but it is very important to have a nice key in this regard, because the entry is a lot more smoother. When you look at it from the worldly perspective, as long as my key works, I'm okay. But when it comes to the hereafter, it has a bigger impact than just opening the door, because it provides additional things inside, the better your key is. That's the same. That's why it says here that miftahul hajji al-ihram. Miftahul birr, of piety, the general piety, a pious demeanor of an individual and behavior. The key for that is as-sidq, is truthfulness. The key to Jannah is at-tawheed, la ilaha illallah. The key to knowledge, the key to sacred knowledge or any kind of knowledge that a person seeks is husnul su'al wa husnul isgha, which means to ask good questions. And the only way you can ask a good question is if you've listened carefully. And now you're asking about the part which is missing. If you ask the same question that the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and Zulaykha has been told the entire night, and in the morning you say, so which one was Zulaykha and which one was Yusuf? Then you're in trouble. This is about really understanding. That's why husnul isgha, which means to listen attentively and carefully with full reflection. Then after that, asking the right question of the part that is missing for you. That is what you call husnul su'al, which the Prophet ﷺ said is nisful ilm. Miftahun nasri wa dhafar as-sabr, the key to victory and assistance from Allah is patience with Allah, to have your hope in Allah, not to lose hope and become despondent. This patience means that you have hope in Allah. You do what you can, but you have hope in Allah that He will assist. Miftahul mazid, the key to abundance. The key to abundance is ash-shukr. Allah says that in the Quran. La in shakartum la azidannakum. You do shukr, you be grateful, and I will increase you. Miftahul wilayati wal mahabba, the key to friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love is remembrance, is his remembrance. The more you remember him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values that. Miftahul falah. And if you want the key to success, the key to success is at-taqwa, is God-fearingness. That gives you all success. Miftahul tawfiq. If you're asking for divine enablement, that, oh Allah, make this easy for me, facilitate this for me. I don't get the vibe to do this. I don't get the encouragement to do this. Give me the tawfiq. Ar-raghba wal-rahba. It's to create interest and create fear. And the way you do that is by listening to hadith that promise, like we're doing right now in the Jannah. This is creating raghba towards paradise, an interest and an encouragement to paradise. And rahba is fear, fear from Jahannam, and so on. You need to balance both of these things. That creates an indication that we need to get it. The more you get, and the world understands this, that's why you constantly get the promotions. Companies spend a certain number, a certain amount of funds on producing something, then they spend a huge amount, a good percentage on promotion. You produce something very, very beneficial, very good, very useful, but nobody knows about it. What's the point of it? That's why they splash it everywhere. That's why we all, and when the more we read about these things, we get more curious, then we get interested, and then we want it. The desire increases. Likewise, if you know you're going to Jannah, but you've never read about Jannah, only in passing when somebody has mentioned it, you know, the speaker mentions it in the passing. That's the only news we have of Jannah. We've never done an ideal study. If you're buying a house in another area, you're going to do a study of Zoopla and all of these things and see the price and you know what everything is going for, and then you start looking and then you start getting interested in that area. Now we know we're going to Jannah, that's our abode, but where is our research for Jannah? So inshallah, this is what we're doing right now. So الرغبة والرهبة ومفتاح الإجابة. The key to Allah's response, Allah answering your call, is to call on to him. You can't expect Allah to give you something you don't keep asking him. Dua. Miftahu raghba fil akhirah. To create the key to this interest and encouragement towards the akhirah is az-zuhd fid dunya. It will help you by just detachment to the world, meaning the heart becomes detached. And just on that, I think I want to mention a very interesting point. I was reading Sayyidul Khatir recently of Ibn al-Jawzi. And Ajib, his perspective is amazing. The kind of points he comes up with. He says that there's a lot of people today, they listen to this hadith, ahadith and so on about zuhd, about abstinence from the world, detachment from the world, and focus on the hereafter. So what they do is, slowly, slowly, they give everything away. They spend everything, because they're in that moment of zeal, and they get rid of everything. And then after that, they basically finish their business off. They destroy their entire system. And they're okay for a month or 2 months or 3 months, maybe 6 months. And then after that, because they're not used to this system, their self rebels. Then after that, they become miserable. And eventually they end up worse than they initially were. That's why what he says is, rather than that, do what you have to do. Do what you have to do and just focus yourself on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So detach your heart rather than have to detach your hands if you're not able to deal with it. He gives a number of examples of a number of prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam, and how they were very wealthy. I mean, he misses out the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was obviously always with maskana. He always asked for faqr, yeah, not for faqr, but for maskana, for what do you call it, just sufficient, just kafaf, just enough. But that was a different situation. So that is today, people are so used to the dunya, and it's all around us. It's very difficult to have a small amount of means. So at least start. May Allah give us the tawfiq for more, but may at least start with the detachment of the heart first. This is something that was bothering me, confounding me for a very long time about how to reconcile this. And Ibn al-Jawzi, this scholar of the 6th or 7th century from Baghdad, is answering my question. And of course, Baghdad was an amazing city with all its pomp and glory at the time. That was the peak of the Abbasids, as you know. So, to move on, He says, "Miftahul iman." The key to iman is tafakkur fi ma da'a Allahu ibadahu ila tafakkur fi, to ponder over those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has invited the people to ponder over, the Quran and so on. That's how you increase and enhance your iman. Miftahul dukhuli ala Allah. How can you enter upon Allah? Is Islamul qalb wa salamatuhu lahu wal ikhlas lahu fil hubbi wal bughdi wal fi'li wal tark. This is for the heart to be submitted and to be completely sound for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be totally sincere in your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your love for people for the sake of Allah, in hating people only for the sake of Allah, not for personal reasons, and to do something or to abandon something only for the sake of Allah. That is how you become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Miftahu hayatil qalb. How do you enliven the heart? Enliven the heart, tadabburul Qur'an, reflecting over the Qur'an. That enlivens the heart because it's a nourishment for the heart. وَالتَّضَرُّ بِالْأَسْحَارِ. And number two is to humbly entreat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submit to Him and speak to Him in the last portions of the night. وَتَرْكُ الذُّنُوبِ. And to abandon sins. وَمِفْتَاحُ حُصُولِ الرَّحْمَةِ. And the key to gaining or attaining to mercy is al-ihsan fi ibadati al-khaliq was-sa'y fi naf'i 'abidi, which is to beautify your worship of the Creator, to do it excellently, which is the status of ihsan, and as-sa'y, which is to expend all your efforts to benefit others, benefit the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That opens up the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous hadith, ar-rahimun yarhamuhum ar-rahman yarhamu man fil ard yarhamkum man fis sama. Similar idea in that narration. Miftahul rizq, the key to sustenance, livelihood. As-sa'yu ma'al istighfar wa taqwa, to make an effort, at the same time do istighfar from your sins and be God fearing, and you'll get barakah in that. Miftahul izz, this is the key to honor. Ta'atullahi wa rasulihi, obedience to Allah and His Messenger. ومفتاح الاستعداد للآخرة. And the key to preparation for the Akhirah is قصر الأمل, which is to not have too many high hopes for the dunya, to shorten your hopes for the dunya. ومفتاح كل خير. And the key to every goodness is الرغبة في الله والدار الآخرة, which is to have this great zeal and drive for Allah and to the Akhirah, to the abode of the Akhirah. وَمِفْتَاحُ كُلِّ الشَّرٍ. And if you want the key to every evil, it is حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ. It is the love of the dunya and having high hopes of the dunya. Ibn al-Qayyim mentions that هَذَا بَابٌ عَظِيمٌ مِّنْ أَنْفَعِ أَبْوَابِ الْعِلْمِ. He says this is a very, very important subject, very important categorization here of knowing the most beneficial doors for knowledge, right? Which is to know the mafatihul khayri wa shar. La yuwaffaq li ma'rifatihi wa mura'atihi illa man azuma hadhuhu wa tawfiquhu. He says the only person that will gain an understanding of this, gain the tawfiq for its understanding, and then to be able to act upon it and to be mindful of it, is the one whose portion of the akhirah has been made great by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tawfiq. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى جَعَلَ لِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ وَشَرٍ مِفْتَاحًا وَبَابًا يُدْخَلْ مِنْهُ إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made in every good and bad there to be a door and a key by which you can enter upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the opposites of this he mentions is that if you're heedless of the remembrance of Allah and you're not fulfilling the rights of Allah, that is the key to Jahannam. That is the key to Jahannam. Just as intoxication, wine, drugs, etc. are the key to every sin, he made also singing and music is the key to zina. That's just the languidness of it. It creates this sensual feeling in a person, and thus zina takes place very easily afterwards. And releasing your gaze in different forms of the dunya, what you would consider to be attractive forms, is basically the key to amorous, unlawful desire, unlawful love, amorous love. And for a person to be lazy and to just be relaxed all the time is miftahul khaybati wal hirman, is the key to all loss and being deprived and deprivation. Ma'asi and sins are the key to kufr. Eventually it leads to kufr. And falsehood is the key to hypocrisy. The ending is hypocrisy. And absolute greed and avarice is miftahul bukhli wa qati'ati rahim. Qati'ati rahim. Which means it is the key to miserliness and severing the ties of kinship. That's what these land grab problems are in our communities. And taking wealth without it being lawful is, and to avoid and to ignore what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought for us, is the key to all forms of innovation and deviance. He says these are the keys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind giving the tawfiq for them. So we ask for Allah's tawfiq. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَلَهُ النِّعْمَةُ وَالْفَضْلُ لَا يُسَلُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلْ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. And the final section that we're going to look at today is that, do you need a certificate for Jannah? We've talked about the doors. Do you need a certificate? How do you get an approval for Jannah? Where is that decision made? So he says, this chapter is fi tawqi' al-jannah wa manshuriha alladhi yuwaqqa' bihi li ashabiha ba'd al-maut wa 'inda dukhuliha. How is the system? Right? How does the system work? When can you get an approval? When can you get these tickets? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kalla inna kitab al-abrar lafi 'illiyyin wa ma adraka ma 'illiyyun kitabun marqum يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Surah Al-Mutaffifin, that know that this, there is the book, the record of the abrar, of the extremely righteous, pious ones. It is in the illiyin. Their record book is kept in the illiyin. And then Allah asks, do you know what this illiyin is? What do you know? Do you know what this illiyin is? This is a book which holds a record. It's a scripted book. And which the muqarrabun, the very intimate ones, the close ones, they witness this. So what does this mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these names are written in a kitabun marqum. Marqum means something which is scripted, which means that this is something physically written somehow. Right? Physically written somehow. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only kept it for the abrar, which means the righteous, pious ones, that their names will be written in there. Number three, they will be witnessed, this writing, this certifying, this recording will be witnessed by the malaika and the prophets and the elect mu'mineen, because they are the muqarrabun, right? They are the muqarrabun, the intimate ones. When it comes to the kitabul fujjar, which is in the sijjin, right? That is not witnessed by anybody. Nobody needs to see that. That is not witnessed. So there's no honor in that. It's just like when, in this country, when somebody gets an OBE, when somebody gets one of these special honours, they call into parliament and there's certain people, that guests that are invited, and there's a big deal made out of these things. People on a blacklist are just put on a blacklist, right? Nobody knows about it. In fact, you don't even know you're on a blacklist until you go for a visa somewhere and you can't get a visa and you're like, why can't I go? You know, subhanAllah. But when it comes to all of these other things, it's a big deal. It's a very honorable thing that people witness this. So similar here. There's a hadith that's related which highlights this perfectly. And this is the first part of it. This is the first part of it. The first part of it is, the first certification is in the pre-eternity, in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in terms of where something actually happens, look at this. Imam Ahmad relates this hadith in his Musnad, so does Ibn Hibban, Abu Awana, and a number of others from Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu. He says that once we went out with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to a janazah, to a funeral, And the Prophet ﷺ sat down by the grave, and we sat down around him. And we were very silent. It was a very solemn moment. كَأَنَّ عَلَى رُؤُسِنَا الطَّيْرِ. It was like there were birds on our head. That's how everybody was so calm. فَقَالْ وَهُوَ يُلْحَدْ لَهُ. And it's like you got birds on your head and your janazah is being, your grave is being dug. It's that solemn. Anyway, he says, the Prophet ﷺ said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. Three times he said, I seek protection, refuge from the punishment of the grave. Then the Prophet ﷺ explained, he says, and this a very, you'll have to listen to this hadith carefully. He says that when a believer, and this is a rumination moment, it's a very reflective moment in the graveyard, there's a person who's going to be buried, right? So you can imagine what everybody's feeling, especially the Sahaba. So he says that when a believer is facing towards the Akhirah, and he is just about to move away from the dunya. So he's literally departing the world and embarking on his journey to the hereafter. تنزلت إليه الملائكة. Angels descend. كأن على وجوههم الشمس. Every one of these angels, it's like the sun is in their face. So bright. These are the most illuminated and resplendent faced angels that you will see. مع كل واحد منهم كفن وحنوت. Every one of these angels come with a kafan, a shroud, and the special fragrance that goes with that for dressing the mayyit, the body. فجلسوا منه مد بصره. They sit to a sight's distance from him. Because what? ثم يجيء ملك ملك الموت. Because the angel of death is coming. He comes and sits right by the head. And he says, أيتها النفس الطيبة أخرجي إلى مغفرة من الله ورضوان. O pleasant soul, come out to the forgiveness of Allah and His satisfaction. So it comes out. It comes out تسيل. It comes out flowing like a قطرة, like a drop. Flows from the mouth of a bottle or of a water carrier, water skin. He takes hold of it. As he takes hold of it, these angels that had come with these shrouds and this perfume do not let it stay in his hand even for the moment of the blink of an eye. They take it and they put it into that kafan, they dress it, and it then comes out as كَأَطْيَبِ نَفْحَةِ مِسْكٍ وُجِدَتْ عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ. The most fragrant musk, the best of musk that you could smell on the face of this earth, that's how this corpse, that's how this body is smelling. فَيَسْعَدُونَ بِهَا. Now they start to ascend with it. Every place, every group of angels that they go past, as they go up to the heavens, the angels are doing their various things, they say, مَا هَذَا الرُّوحُ الطَّيِّبُ. What is this excellent, pleasant soul? And they say, فُلَانُ ibn فُلَانُ. This is so-and-so. Yusuf by Musa by whatever it is, son of so-and-so, they'll say this. They mention the best of his names, the best name that he would be called by in the world, until they get to the Sama'ud Dunya. They go up to the Sama'ud Dunya, the first heaven. So that means there are angels between that they go past. He asks for it to be opened, it's opened for him. Every heaven that he goes past, the individuals who are there, the beings who are there, the muqarrabin who are there, they welcome them. Until finally he gets to the uppermost heavens, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Uktubu kitab abdi fi illiyin. Now write this name down in the illiyin, in that special record book, and return him back to the earth. So this soul goes up, and then Allah says, take him back down. You only come up here to have the name written. Now all of this procession comes back down because Allah says, I have created him from the earth. وَفِيهَا أُعِيدُهُمْ. I must return him to that. And from here, from there I will extract him once again. فَتُعَادُ رُوحُهُ فِي جَسَدِهِ. Now this ruh comes back to his body. Because his body, this is if the body is there and it hasn't been incinerated or something. So, you know. But the ruh is now primary. When it comes to this realm, the ruh is primary. Right? The body is secondary anyway. In the dunya, the body is primary, ruh is secondary. In the hereafter, in Jannat and Jahannam, both will be primary. That's where you get full reward and full punishment. That, or you feel that. Anyway, so then when he comes back, by this time they've finished burying him. Basically, you know, and this is happening? This is happening from when they're starting to bury him, from when he's died and when they've buried him, and now when they've put, it's back now. In this time he's been up there. Now he's just come back. Now it says, فَيَأْتِيهِ مَلَكَ. Now the two angels, the Munkar and Nakir, they come, they sit him up in his grave, and now they start saying to him, مَنْ رَبُّكَ? And he says, رَبِّي Allah. He says, okay, what's your deen? My deen is Islam. And what do you say about this man who was sent among you? And he says, هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Then he says, وَمَا عِلْمُكَ? What's your knowledge about this? He says, قَرَأْتُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. I mean, what's your source of knowledge? What's your epistemology? Right? He says, قَرَأْتُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ فَآمَنْتُ بِهِ وَصَدَّقْتُ. I read the book of Allah. The book of Allah, reciting the Quran. I believed in it and I confirmed it. فَيُنَادِي مُنَادِي مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Then you get the declaration from an announce, from a herald in the heaven saying, أَنْ صَدَقَ عَبْدِي. My servant has told the truth. فَفْرِشُوهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Now lay for him, make a bedding for him. You know, make a bedding for him from Jannah. وَأَلْبِسُوهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. Give him a garment from Jannah. Clothe him from Jannah. وَافْتَحُوا لَهُ بَابًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And open up a door for him to Jannah. So then the beautiful fragrance and the excellent breeze comes from there. وَيُفْسَحْ لَهُ فِي قَبْرِ. And his qabr is expanded. مَدَّ بَصَرِهِ. To his sight's distance. So as far as he can see, that's how expansive it is. And then وَيَأْتِيهِ رَجُلٌ حَسَنُ الْوَجْهِ. Hasan al-Thiyab, a man comes to him. This individual suddenly appears in front of him. Beautiful, handsome face, beautiful clothes, and excellent fragrance and smell. And he says, "Abshir bil-ladhi yasurruka hatha yawmuka al-ladhi kunt tatu'ad." He says, accept the glad tidings of that which will satisfy you. This is the day that you were promised. So he will say to him, "Man antak? Who are you? Subhanallah, who are you? Fawajhuk alwajh alladhi yaji'u bil khair." Your face, subhanallah, your countenance is the countenance of somebody who comes with goodness. Who are you? So he says, "Ana amaluka salih." I am your good deeds. I am your good deeds. And he'll be as handsome as our good deeds were. Fayaqulu rabbi aqimis sa'a. His dua will be, "Oh Allah, O my Lord, establish the Day of Judgment. رَبِّ أَقِمِ السَّاعَةِ حَتَّى أَرْجِعَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِي وَمَالِي. So that I can go back to my family and my wealth." So, when it comes to a disbeliever though, when he is about to depart the world and move to the hereafter, again, angels come down. But these angels are completely different from the first lot. These are blackened faces. مَعَهُمْ الْمُسُوحِ. With them are these sheets, just blackened sheets. Not some special shroud, just some blackened sheets. They sit with him, they sit at a distance from him, at a sight's distance from him. Then the Malakul Maut comes and sits by his head and says, أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْخَبِيثَ. O vile soul, أُخْرُجِي إِلَى سَخْطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَغَضَبٍ. سَخْطٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَغَضَبٍ. أُخْرُجِي. Come out to the anger of Allah and His wrath. فَتَفَرَّقَ فِي جَسَدِهِ. This soul doesn't want to come out. It becomes disintegrated in his body. But فَيَنْتَزِعُهَا. Malakul Maut pulls it out. كَمَا يَنْتَزِعُ السَّفُودُ مِنَ السُّوفِ الْمَبْلُولِ. Just like you get a metal pronged instrument which is mixed up in wet wool. It's very difficult to kind of dislodge it. That's how he's trying to pull it all out. فَيَأْخُذَهَا فَإِذَا أَخَذَهَا. He takes it, and as soon as he takes it, those angels that have come, they just come and they grab it and put it into those sheets. And it then begins to smell like the worst corpse that you have ever smelt. That is, not that you have ever smelt, but that is found ever on the earth. And they take it and ascend. And every time they go past a group of angels, they say, what is this filthy soul? And they say, this is so and so. I won't take anybody's name here. Right. I could, but I won't. This is so and so. Using the worst of the names that they would want to have been called by in the dunya. Until they get to the sama'ud dunya, to the first heavens. They ask for it to be opened, but it's not opened. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then recited, لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء ولا يدخلون الجنة حتى يلج الجمل في سم الخياط. Never will these doors of the heavens be opened for them. Neither will they enter Jannah. Neither will they enter the gardens until a camel is able to go through the eye of a needle. Then the Prophet ﷺ continued to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, record his name in the book of Sijjin, which is in the lowest earth. It's not even stored up there. It's stored in the lowest earth. Thus, تُطْرَحُ رُوحُهُ طَرْحًا. His soul is just flung down. Then the Prophet ﷺ recited, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتَخْطَفُهُ الطَّيْرُ أَوْ تَهْوِي بِهِ الرِّيحُ فِي مَكَانٍ صَحِيقٍ. The one who does shirk with Allah is just like the person who's been flung from the heavens, and then the birds and everything can just have a play day with it. So his ruh then comes back into the body, and then the angels come and they sit him up, and then they say, who is your Lord? He says, ha ha, la adri. Oh no, I don't know. Oh, I wish I didn't. I mean, these are different expressions. I mean, what would be a ha-ha expression? Yes, that is definitely a damn state. And it's probably the perfect word, damn. And they were saying that in the world probably as well. Damn, I don't know. That's probably what that is. And then they say, who's your Lord? And who is this man that was sent among you? Again, damn, I don't know. So then herald calls from the heavens, my servant has told an untruth. Make a bedding for him from hellfire. Open up a door to hellfire. And then thus the heat and the smell, the stench rather, will come to it from there. وَيُضَيَّقْ عَلَيْهِ قَبْرُ. And his qabr will be tightened upon him until his ribs become entangled with one another. And then a man with extremely ugly face and repugnant face will come about, very bad clothing, very smelly, and say, أَبْشِرْ بِالَّذِي يَسُؤُكْ. Accept the glad tidings of that which you hate. This is the day that you were promised. He say, who are you? He says, who are you? Because you have the face of somebody who comes with evil news. He says, I am your bad deeds. He says, رَبِّ لَا تُقِيمِ السَّاعَةِ. Oh my Lord, do not establish the Day of Judgment. That gives you an understanding of where the signature is done, where the record is laid. Tabarani relates another hadith from Ata ibn Yasar, from Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا بِجَوَازٍ. Nobody enters Jannah without a passport. Nobody enters Jannah without a passport. Whether it's I don't know what color it is, whether it's a red one or, you know. It's nobody enters Jannah without a passport. This passport is, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. هَذَا كِتَابٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِفُلَانِ ابْنِ فُلَانِ أَدْخِلُوهُ جَنَّةً عَالِيَةً قُتُوفُهَا دَانِيَةً. That is the passport. It doesn't have to have a color. It's just words from Allah. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, truly most gracious, most merciful. This is an epistle from Allah. This is a message from Allah. This is a command from Allah. For so and so, enter him into the highest levels of Jannah. These high Jannahs, high gardens, whose flowers are easy to pick. That's why Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu relates in another hadith, يُعْطَى الْمُؤْمِنْ جَوَازًا عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. Where will he be given this passport? On where you need it most. On the causeway above hellfire. Ala sirat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hada kitabun min Allahil Aziz al Hakim. This is a decree from Allah, the Mighty and the Wise. Li Fulan ibn Fulan, for such and such a person. Udkhuluhu jannatan aliyah. أدخلوه جنة عالية. Enter him into the high gardens, قطوفها دانية, whose flowers and whose fruits are easy to pick. So Ibn al-Qayyim then finally he says that, of course, if you trace this from before, the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took one handful after creating the all of creation, and he said, these are for paradise, and I don't care. And he took another handful, and he said, these are for hell, and I don't care. So that's already one kind of stipulation that's done. Then it says that a person is written as being from the Ahlul Jannah, Ahlul Nar, right? The day that the ruh is, you know, the hadith in Muslim from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when the third trimester, 120 days, an angel comes and then says, Shaqiyun am Sa'id, right? That's another place where this designation is verified. And then, ثُمَّ يُكْتَبُ فِي دِيوَانِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمَ مَوْتِ. When he dies, then he is written in this عِلِّيِّن on the day he dies. And then, يُعْطَى هَذَا الْمَنْشُورِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Then finally, he will be given this manshur, this special dispatch on the day of Qiyamah. فَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the only one that we can seek assistance from, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and assist us. Just make a short dua. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam, tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram, Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith, Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan, la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min adh-dhalimin, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Oh Allah, accept our du'as. Oh Allah, forgive us our sins. Oh Allah, grant us the keys to all acts of goodness. Oh Allah, grant us the keys to everything that you want from us. And oh Allah, we ask that you make your obedience beloved in our heart and your disobedience hated in our heart. Oh Allah, we ask that you bless us during this month of Ramadan. Oh Allah, we ask that you make all of this what we're reading a reality for us. Oh, you give us encouragement towards it. Oh Allah, we ask that you make it have the right effect on our heart. You soften our heart so that our hearts become softened for your worship and for your love. Oh Allah, grant us your love and the love of those who love you. Oh Allah, we ask that you don't deprive us during this month. Do not deprive us of all of these great things that are being mentioned here. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive us all the sins that we commit, whenever we commit them, whenever we have committed them. Oh Allah, some sins have become second nature to us. Oh Allah, we ask you for realization before our death, that we correct ourselves. Oh Allah, grant your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam abundant blessings, and grant us his company in the hereafter, and grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna wa salamun ala al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi.